Hello, and welcome to That's Not Normal, a podcast about all those things that make you go, wait, what? I'm your host, Kate, and this is the second in a two-part series focused around folie à deux, a condition causing two people to experience a shared psychosis. Don't worry, if you didn't listen to last week, they're totally different stories, and they don't need to be listened to in any particular order. Last episode took us back to the 1930s and recounted the horrific murder of a well-to-do lady and her adult daughter at the hands of their live-in maids. Today, we take it into more recent times with the story of the Erickson twins. But before we get started here, I wanted to introduce a brand new segment to start off the pod. I'm super excited, so let's get into it. It's time for Not Normal News. The first story comes out of Port Arthur, Texas. It's about 8 p.m. on April 1st of 2022, and a homeowner makes a call to police that someone he doesn't know is mowing the grass on his property. A man later identified as Marcus Hubbard entered the homeowner's shed, moved a bicycle out of the way, and pulled out the lawnmower. He went back into the shed for a gas can, and he filled that baby up. He got that mower started and proceeded to mow both the homeowner's front and back lawns before taking off with the mower. This was all caught on camera. Marcus eventually ditched the mower in an alley and evaded arrest. From what I could dig up, he still has not been caught. I told Dude about this story and I was like, okay, do you think this guy mowed the lawn to give the homeowner some extra time to get a new lawnmower? Or was it a try it before you buy it sort of deal? Well, try it before you steal it. Dude brought up that maybe Marcus was trying to look like he was hired to do the lawn, so he wouldn't look so suspicious when he rolled down the street with the lawnmower. That's a valid point, but who really knows what was running through this guy's mind? The second bit of not normal news literally had me laughing my ass off. I just happened to stumble upon a quick video clip of some guy named Jason Selvig. I guess he's part of a comedy duo called The Good Liars. And in this particular clip, he's interviewing a woman who I'm just gonna assume is a Trump supporter based on her bedazzled Trump baseball hat and her MAGA shirt. And that is what it is. But this woman is telling Selvig that she and others believe that Joe Biden is dead. And he's been being played by Jim Carrey and some others who are wearing a Biden mask. Yeah, Jim Carrey played Biden on SNL, and he did a fantastic job. But that's a little different than wearing such a good Biden mask and going about the actual duties of the President of the United States. The woman goes on to mention that really popular video of Biden falling on the stairs as he was getting into Air Force One last year, and she believes that that was Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey, that jokester, pretending to be the president and pretending to fall. Silly guy. Jim Carrey did see the video of the interview, posted on Selvig's Twitter, and responded with, "Oh dear." I'll second that sentiment. I was only planning to tell two news stories today, but the next one I've been thinking about for days since I read it, and I just need to share. This happened just a few days ago. A small airplane, a Cessna 208, if that means anything to you, which it sure doesn't to me. Anyways, it was flying from the Bahamas towards Florida when the pilot had a medical issue and went incoherent. A passenger with zero flying experience got on the radio and in contact with air traffic control. He said, "I've got a serious situation here. My pilot has gone incoherent. I have no idea how to fly the airplane." Air traffic controller Robert Morgan was on break at the time, but came rushing over when the call was received. He himself had never flown this model of plane, so he got out the manual and proceeded to teach the man how to fly over the radio and phone. The new pilot wasn't sure where they were located and was instructed to follow the coastline. The plane was eventually picked up on radar. Morgan directed the man to Palm Beach International Airport, which is the largest airport in the area, hoping that giving him a big target would increase the success of the landing. And sure as shit, that dude landed the plane. And Morgan himself called it a 10 out of 10. Other airplanes were obviously stalled on the tarmac to give the Cessna's new pilot room to land. And when the plane was safely landed, the radio operator said to all who were listening, "You just witnessed a couple of passengers land that plane." An American Airlines pilot who witnessed the landing chimed in saying, "Did you say the passengers landed the airplane? Oh my God, great job." The sweetest part of this story is that Morgan was able to meet his new flying student, who turned out to be a man named Darren Harrison, who was really grateful to be alive and able to go home to his pregnant wife. This story literally gave me goosebumps, so I just had to share it. Go Darren Harrison and go Robert Morgan. You guys are amazing. So on that happy and wholesome note, we are going to get on to our main event, which is neither happy nor wholesome. This is a tale of Folie à Deux and the Erickson twins. Ursula and Sabina Erickson were born on November 3rd, 1967, in Sweden. They were identical twins and had two older siblings, a sister Mona and a brother Bjorn. By all accounts of their early years, which really aren't many, they seem to have a typical childhood. Ursula and Sabina were close, but not freaky close like the Gibbons twins from episode 2, which, by the way, totally could have fit into this series of Folie à Deux. But anyways, Ursula and Sabina had no criminal records and no history of mental illness. By the time they were in their mid-30s, both sisters had left Sweden. Ursula relocated to the United States, and Sabina moved to Ireland. Sabina settled down with a partner and had two children. The sisters kept in touch, and they seemed to be living totally normal lives. In 2008, Ursula headed out to Ireland to visit her sister. And here's where the sisters' behavior starts to get real weird. After less than a whole day at Sabina's, in County Cork, Ireland, the two sisters abruptly took off to Liverpool, England. It doesn't sound like they had any prior intentions of taking this trip. They just picked up, left, and got on a ferry to England. Upon their arrival to Liverpool, the women went straight to a police station and told officers that they were concerned about the welfare and safety of Sabina's children. It sounds like police did look into this, and Sabina's partner mentioned that they did get into a minor argument, but absolutely nothing was wrong with the kids. This whole little England trip is bizarre for a few different reasons. First, I'm a mom, and if you're worried about the safety of your children, why are you leaving them? Next, why the fuck are you traveling to a different country to report your concerns? I've never personally been to Ireland, but I'm 1,000% sure that they have police there, too. I looked up how they could have gone about this trip to England, and they would have had to drive or find some sort of transportation to the ferry station in Dublin. And I guess maybe there were other ferries then, but this is the closest one I could find operating now. This drive would have taken 2.5 hours. Then the ferry ride, which would have taken between 7 to 8 hours. This makes no sense for someone who's concerned about the safety of her children. Here's the first inkling that these women were not in their right minds. From Liverpool, Ursula and Sabina decided to board a bus to London. Their bizarre behavior continued, and reports explain that they were clutching their bags and acting really paranoid. Some sources say that the women refused to put their bags in the luggage carrier on the bus, and when the driver asked to search them, they refused. Eventually, the bus made an unplanned stop at a service center. Some sources say this was because the bus driver was suspicious and a little bit worried. Others say that the twins claimed to be ill and talked the bus driver into stopping. Either way, the bus stopped. The workers at the service station also found Sabina and Ursula's behavior suspicious, and someone ended up calling the police. Police arrived and deemed the women to be harmless. They were, however, not getting back on that bus. So shortly after this, the women found themselves walking down the median of the M6 motorway, which is basically just a huge-ass highway. It just so happens that, by absolute coincidence, a TV crew for a show following the stories of UK police officers, think like our version of cops, happened to be filming in that area. This crew caught the absolute craziness that happens next on film. By now, other police officers had also arrived, as calls had come in that there were two women walking down the center of the highway. Before these officers even arrived, out of nowhere, both women darted into the fast lane of traffic. Sabina was in the direct path of a car and hit. By the time the cops arrived, both women seemed to be totally fine and without injury. This is crazy. How do you get hit by a car on a highway and you're totally fine? The police, who had been called for the women, were getting the details of what was going on by the police being recorded for the show. Both Sabina and Ursula were standing on the shoulder of the road with officers at this time. Suddenly, Ursula runs onto the highway into traffic. An officer tried to grab her jacket to stop her, but it came off, and onto the highway she went. Seconds later, Sabina runs out onto the highway into oncoming traffic as well. The video shows police calling for an ambulance for possible fatals. Both women had been hit by vehicles. Sabina, for the second time that day. Ursula had been severely injured, and both of her legs were broken. She was hit by a truck and left a real big dent in the windshield and front of that vehicle. When police were trying to give her aid, she kept asking for the police, claiming that the police there weren't real. She said, "I recognize you. You are not real." She proceeded to spit, scream, and try to hit first responders. Meanwhile, Sabina had just regained consciousness after being hit by her second car that day and being out cold for a good 15 minutes. She screamed to her sister about how the police were going to steal their organs. Sabina got up off the pavement as if nothing had just happened and was screaming for the police. "Yo, they there." She started to walk away, and a female officer grabbed her arm and kind of grabbed her around the waist because Sabina was headed back towards traffic. The officer wasn't aggressively restraining her or anything. I watched the video. She was trying to keep her safe. But I guess Sabina didn't feel that way because she fought with the officer and punched her in the face. Sabina, of course, ran back into the lanes of traffic. It ended up taking six people, including both police and bystanders, to restrain Sabina. Dude, this chick just got hit by two cars, and now it takes six people to restrain her? What the heck? Medics didn't have much choice but to sedate her. The officers believed that the women were under the influence of drugs, but it turned out there were neither drugs or alcohol in either of their systems. Ursula was airlifted to a hospital to treat her injuries, while Sabina, who had much less severe wounds, was taken by ambulance to a different hospital. Sabina, through some type of miracle, had very few injuries and was released from the hospital in just a matter of hours, and then put into police custody because she'd hit that police officer in the face. At this point, she was acting completely normal and pled guilty to trespassing on a motorway and assaulting a police officer. She spent one day in jail and was then just released. No psychiatric evaluation, just sent back out into the world. What the hell? I think at the very least, there would have been a 72-hour psych hold since this lady had just thrusted her body into oncoming traffic twice. If anything warrants a little investigation into the mental health of someone, I'd think it'd be that. But nope. She was just given the bag she had with her that day and walked out the door. Speaking of the bags that the women had, remember earlier they were really weird about them and didn't want to like put them in the luggage carrier on the bus? While the women were on their way to the hospital, the police were able to take a peek inside of those bags, and they found that the bags contained multiple cell phones, but most of them weren't functioning, and nothing else suspicious was found. Kind of weird, though. So while Ursula is still in the hospital with two broken legs, Sabina is aimlessly walking the streets of Fenton. She had said something pretty cryptic to officers earlier, stating, "We say in Sweden that an accident rarely comes alone. Usually, at least one more follows. Maybe two." It's a weird thing to say, especially since nothing she had done was an accident. But her words do insinuate that more bad things are to come. And they were. As Sabina walked, she encountered two men who were out walking a dog. They were former paramedic Glenn Hollingshead and his friend Peter Malloy. Sabina approached them, pet the dog, and asked if there were any hotels or bed and breakfasts nearby. There weren't. She explained that she was looking for her sister, who she thought was probably in the hospital, and Glenn, being a good person, offered to help her track her sister down. He invited Sabina back to his home. Like, be nice and take care of people, but probably don't be this nice. This is also interesting because when Sabina was released from the police station, she didn't say a word about her sister. She had no questions about Ursula, and if she was really concerned with finding her sister in this moment, she probably would have asked that, and they, I guess, probably would have told her where her sister was. Why not? So Sabina, Glenn, and Peter went to Glenn's home, and they had some drinks. Sabina started to act really strange again. She seemed really paranoid and kept looking out the windows. Glenn thought that maybe she was a victim of domestic violence and that she was worried someone was looking for her. Sabina would offer the men cigarettes from her pack and then rip them out of their mouths, claiming that they might be poisoned. Meanwhile, she's smoking cigarettes from that same pack. Around midnight, Peter was kind of over these shenanigans and went home. And Glenn ended up allowing Sabina to spend the night. The plan was that the next morning, they'd make some phone calls to local hospitals to try to locate Ursula. And they did just that. The next day, Glenn made some phone calls. One was to his brother, who worked in a hospital. They ended up being unable to find Ursula, but Glenn was really trying to help. That night, Sabina had been there for a whole 24 hours now. Glenn was preparing dinner for the two of them and stopped over at a neighbor's house to ask for some tea bags. Glenn returned home, but stumbled back outside less than a minute later, bleeding profusely. His neighbor was still outside. I think he had been washing his car, and he obviously went over to help Glenn. In his dying breaths, Glenn said to his neighbor, "She stabbed me," and also asked his neighbor to look after his dog. Sabina had murdered 54-year-old Glenn Hollingshead by stabbing him 4 times in the head with a kitchen knife. Neighbors called the police, and by the time they arrived, Sabina had fled the scene. she proceeded to walk down the streets of Fenton while bashing herself in the head with a fucking hammer. Can you imagine seeing that? One passing motorist stopped and tried to get Sabina to stop hitting herself with that hammer. Apparently, Sabina had been carrying a heavy roofing tile with her and repaid this good Samaritan by bashing him in the head with it. This hurt the man enough that Sabina was able to get away. Eventually, the police caught up to her and they chased her onto the overpass of a highway. She's back in her natural habitat, I guess. Girl loves traffic. Sabina proceeded to jump off of the 30-foot bridge onto the A-50 highway. She broke both of her ankles and fractured her skull. But she, of course, lived because this chick just can't die. It was also unclear if the skull fracture was caused by her leap off the bridge or by her smashing that hammer into her skull. Both Sabina and Ursula spent months in the hospital to heal from their injuries. When Ursula was healthy, she relocated back to Sweden, and then I believe she eventually went back to the U.S. When Sabina was discharged from the hospital, she was taken into police custody as she had obviously been charged with murder. The trial ended up being postponed for a while investigators tried to get Sabina's medical records from Sweden. I would assume they were looking for a history of mental illness. They were unable to get any records, which is really strange because it's not the 1700s, it's 2008, unless she literally never visited a doctor in her life, which is unlikely. At the trial, both the prosecution and the defense were in agreement that Sabina was insane at the time of the murder, but she had been cleared and deemed sane at the time of the trial. Sabina gave absolutely no explanation as to what happened on the M6 or with Glenn Hollingshead, and repeatedly just said, no comment. She pled guilty to manslaughter with diminished responsibility. Sabina was sentenced to just 5 years in prison by Mr. Justice Saunders. He went on to explain his decision by saying, I understand that this sentence will seem entirely inadequate to the relatives of the deceased. However, I have sentenced on the basis that the reason for the killing was the mental illness, and therefore the culpability of the defendant is low, and therefore the sentence I have passed is designed to protect the public. He continued by saying that it is not designed to reflect the grief the relatives have suffered or to measure the value of Mr. Hollingshead's life. No sentence that I could pass could do that. It is a sentence which I hope fairly measures a truly tragic event. Glenn's brother was interviewed by the Sentinel newspaper and was kind of surprisingly not upset about the sentence. He was, however, very upset that Sabina was released from police custody after the incident on the M6 highway without any sort of assessment of her mental state. And rightfully so. He's quoted as saying, we don't hold her responsible, the same as we wouldn't blame a rabid dog for biting someone. She is ill, and to a large degree, not responsible for her actions. But her mental disorder should have been recognized much earlier. Sabina was released in 2011 after serving 2.5 years of her 5-year sentence. She did spend 439 days in custody before sentencing. And that's pretty much all we know. Her whereabouts today aren't clear, but we do know that neither her nor Ursula have had any other run-ins with the police. Neither of them have ever given any explanation or public comment on the incidents that occurred. They've gone on to live very private lives. This case is known as one of the most bizarre and tragic examples of folie à deux. This rare shared psychosis led to the tragic death of Glenn Hollingshead, but also left a lot of other people victimized. I feel for the people who were driving the cars who hit these women, and all those who had to watch this play out. I feel for the man who tried to stop Sabina from hitting herself with the hammer, and everyone else who had to witness that as they were just driving along, carrying on with their day. The police really dropped the ball when they released Sabina that day without looking into her mental health. Before we end, I wanted to give a shout out to Australia. Thanks for hitching a ride on this crazy roller coaster. And as always, thanks for hanging for this episode of That's Not Normal. And what is normal anyways? Whatever it is, I think we can all agree it's not walking down the street, bashing your own head in with a hammer. And if you like what you're listening to, please, please, please head on over and leave a rating and review on whatever podcast app you're listening on. Like, subscribe, follow. It really helps with that super sweet secret little algorithm so people can discover my existence. Or shoot me an email at thatsnotnormalapodcast@gmail.com. Join the Facebook group at facebook.com/thatsnotnormalapodcast. And follow on Instagram at thatsnotnormalapodcast. All exactly the same. Thanks for listening.